This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Cores, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Yo.
It's Wednesday.
What?
Wednesday.
Well, this is wild stuff, isn't it?
Well, I'm thrilled to death on this Wednesday because we have ourselves a playoff team.
We sure do. We will get to that. Amy Marks-Cores, Chris Ronchi. Good morning to you. Beautiful, beautiful Wednesday before the rain comes in. I guess the next few days may not be all that fun, rain-wise, but at least we have today. 314-436-7900. Call us, text us, leave us a voice message on the Audacy app, AUDACY. And if you want to look at us, you can do that. There is a Facebook. There is a YouTube. And there is a Twitter account that you can follow. It's at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Yeah, that's right. The Blues beat the Hockey Club of Utah 6-1. They are in the playoffs for the first time in what, 2 years? 3 years.
Since 2022.
That's right.
And the city of St. Louis officially now has a new mayor, as Mayor Kara Spencer was sworn in yesterday.
And the Cardinals, well, they lose to the Astros 2-0, so they've got what we call a rubber match. That is today. In fact, it is early baseball today. We're going to have a pregame show at 11:20 and the first pitch at 12:15. The Cardinals and Astros finish up their series at Busch Stadium.
Double the hit, Stubberud. He's got a breakaway. Looking for his first goal. Rebound. They score. Shen. Beavers. They score. Buchnevich. What a play. And it's 2-0 St. Louis. Buchnevich. Back door. Stubberud there. And he scores. Stubberud.
Thomas to Bolduc.
Shoots. He scores. Bolduc, a power play goal.
Gets by Cole to Sundquist. To Shen right in. A shot. They score.
Pyro. shoots it, rebound, they score! Hyrou is second tonight. The St. Louis Blues are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
FanDuel Sports Network.
Wow. Bloody, that
with
was
the highlights.
A lot of goals.
So, what did we talk about yesterday? Like, hey, don't leave it to chance.
Yeah.
Don't leave it up to Calgary to blow it or some other team to help you get into the postseason. Take care of business. They did that.
Yeah.
If you weren't paying attention and you just looked up later, it was like 4-0. And wow, okay, they win 6-1, and they did exactly what they needed to do, and that was handle it. So good on the Blues, back in the playoffs.
Yes, oh my gosh, it feels so good to have a playoff team here in St. Louis. As Matt Pajeski, our producer, who was at the game, Mr. St. Louis, he said the towel guy ran out of towels.
Yeah, he was pumping everybody up, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, after 6 goals, and just, like, he just went back into the tunnel and didn't have any towels to throw out.
What?
Yeah.
That's when you, like, give up your shirt or something. You need to bring at least 6 towels.
Yeah, I think 7 is like... just in case.
Yeah, you bring 8 really is just in case. But good on the Blues. I mean, they went 19-4-3. 19-4-3 after the Four Nations break. And I think it's fair to say that no one expected that. Maybe the guys in the locker room knew they had it in them the whole time. I feel like no. Sometimes, here's the thing. Well, every team believes that they're a playoff team, or every team believes that they're good. Yes and no.
Yeah, no, there is a no.
There is a no.
Because if play, and sometimes after a season, they will be honest with you and say, yeah, we kind of knew in August this wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Or you know, like in a baseball season or whatever, they'll be like, you
well,
know,
like
we knew.
I said, and guys will doubt themselves.
Sure.
If a guy's struggling, rather famously, Ryan O'Reilly said he thought he was a cancer for locker rooms. He thought he was a guy that showed up on a team and drove them into the cellar. And so you do have moments when you doubt yourself, you doubt your team's ability, you're frustrated with your own play. You can be frustrated with others' play. And yes, you're going to have say the right things in the locker room. And I don't know the ratio of belief to doubt in that Blues locker room. Is the belief generally higher than it is for the fans? Usually, I think so. But they're also realists. And so for this team to go 19-4-3 is astonishing, no matter how you look at it. They got hot at the right time. I'm glad they didn't just win that game.
They put it away.
Put it away.
Yeah.
It had intentionality about it. It was confident, and that's what they needed after losing a handful of games, after that 12-game winning streak, because, of course, you're not going to keep that same momentum. But going into the playoffs, and last night's game, I think they approached as a playoff game, right? You have it in your control. Do what you can. You want to have that momentum, and I feel like that's exactly what they have. Now, they're going up against an incredibly...
oh, yeah.
Skilled team. The Winnipeg Jets they're a rocket ship, man. They're going to be tough, but it's fun. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. And, yeah, this is good stuff. The last time the Blues played the Winnipeg Jets in the first round went okay.
It did, and that was one of those that I thought, like, there were a couple of times I thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
That series. Was it Braden Chen? Why am I blanking on this right now? Who swatted the puck out of midair? It was sort of that comeback win they had. When I thought the season was over. This was during the Stanley Cup mm-hmm. run. And I apologize for blanking on that. But I remember thinking once Winnipeg had scored, I think it was a second goal. Doing this all from memory. Isn't that great? And I'm thinking, all right, well, great season, great run, everybody. You were in last place in December. This was fun. Thank you for the memories.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of this. And I was totally resigned to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and tied it and ended up winning that game. But there were multiple times throughout the entire playoff run, even against Dallas and then against Boston, they had that one game where they just got obliterated. And I thought, oh, God, you know, here.
Well,
so much fun. I appreciate it. But there was they consistently defied what I thought was about to happen.
Yes.
They were so close to death multiple times. And this team is drawing some parallels there.
Yeah. So, no, there were moments, and in any, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, the playoffs haven't even started yet, but it's never smooth sailing. And you can think of a lot of moments from that Stanley Cup run in 2019 where it was so close. It was a thousandths of a second or millimeters away from the Blues being knocked out of the playoffs. The obliteration game against the Bruins, that was game six of the Stanley Cup yeah. final. And going back to Boston for game seven, I can tell you, in the media box, in the stands, everyone, they didn't just assume the Bruins were going to win game seven at home. They were already talking about how the Blues really didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah.
The Blues, they may be, yeah, they're tough. They're throwing their weight around, but they don't have the perfection line. They don't have Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand. They don't have that. And it was insane, Ron, because I remember sitting there with the national ESPN guys talking about how game six is really how this series should have gone the whole time. Game six really shows why the Bruins were better than the Blues. And of course, the Blues go on to win the Stanley Cup in game seven in Boston.
I remember thinking, do not let this go back to Boston.
Yeah.
Don't allow it.
Everyone thought it was over.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then
I can't believe they did it.
Famously, the hand pass goal.
San Jose
Sharks. In that locker room, though, that locker room, I can tell you right then, and I actually said this in the post-game show, and I'm not right a lot, but I said, that team, it was so bizarre, Ronge. I knew they were going to win this series just by the attitude in the locker room after they lost to the San Jose Sharks with the hand pass.
That's so interesting. You've told that to mm-hmm. me a bunch of times, and it's fascinating to me because on the outside,
yeah.
the rest of us, I think, felt completely different.
Right, and that's and I we were in the locker room, Alex Ferrario and I. We went upstairs. We're talking to Curbs, and I'm like, they're going to win this series. I don't know how to describe it, but the resolve in that room and the way they didn't let it bother them was mind-boggling. I will say, when the Blues won the Cup, Game 7, the final seconds ticked down. Do you know what went through my head? The Jamie Benn wraparound goal in Game 7 in the second round in overtime that was most likely going in. I don't know how it didn't go in. That's how it felt. And I thought we were that close to being knocked out of the playoffs in the second round. That's what went through my head. It's so hard to make it through the playoffs. So even last night's game, I feel like shows you, you not only have to play really well and you can't make mistakes, but a lot of things have to go your way.
And also, let's not forget that Blues team was not the best team in the league that year.
Well, I always say this. They weren't the best roster, but they were the best team.
Yeah, they definitely weren't the best roster.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't.
They were the worst.
So you don't even have to be the best team to win the whole thing. And I know we're sort of talking ourselves into this. Well, hey, you know, maybe this happens. But let's play that out a little bit. Dude, what if? What if they do something like that again? What if they go on some sort of run here and they beat Winnipeg unexpectedly because that team is really good? It's the best team in the conference. Dude, what if they do it?
I know. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are. We are. But
the Jets are really,
yeah,
really good.
It's totally possible the Blues don't win another game the rest of the year.
Connor Hellebuck is the best goaltender
Yeah,
in the
awesome.
NHL.
He's awesome.
He just is. But
I'm leaving it open to the possibility. Let me be a stupid sports fan for a minute. And I will until they play their first couple of games, and then we'll go from there.
I've already been blamed because, you know, I got injured. I fell, right? Basically broke my ankle in a million pieces. I just sprained it. But I was supposed to run the Boston Marathon. In 2019, the first and only time I ran the Boston Marathon, that was 2019, and I went to Boston, and the Blues were playing the Winnipeg Jets in the first round. Mm. And they had just gotten through that 11-game win streak.
So now they're going to get smoked
because
you're not there.
Now we have 2025. The Blues have a 12-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who they're playing in the first round? The Winnipeg Jets. Guess who signed up for Boston? Me. But guess who's not going? If we lose, it's probably my fault.
Well, no, it's not you. You don't have that kind of power.
How do you know?
Pajeski had power to lose the whole thing for all of us because he went to the game last night. And he has some bad mojo.
No,
but
he doesn't.
They overcame his bad mojo.
I'm 500.
He's batting 500. Remember, the Cardinals had their delightful victory on Monday night under the auspices of Matt Pajeski. And yesterday, he wasn't at the Cardinals game. Guess who lost? The Cardinals. But he was at the Blues game. Guess mm-hmm. who won?
That's right.
Honestly, I think the fans are 99% of success and failure.
I think it might be luck. Tell us what your superstition is, especially if we are now that we are headed into the playoffs and the Blues are going. You don't have to be a diehard Blues fan or anything to tell us what your superstitions are. But it seems like hockey people might have crazier superstitions than the rest of us. So if you have one, tell us what it is. Tell us what you are doing specifically to help the Blues through the playoffs. Let us know on the Odyssey app. AUDACY, drop a voice message, send a text. We want to hear from you on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Chris and Amy Show. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. We're asking what your superstition is and how you're going to approach the Blues playoffs, which we don't know exactly when they're going to begin. I guess we find out the specific day after tomorrow. So it's like tomorrow night mm-hmm. when the season's over. Then they will have the playoff schedule. All we know is they are going to play the Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg.
And it will be on the road.
Do you know Winnipeg is the St. Louis of Canada? They are a river
town. It's smaller,
town.
Right?
It's smaller. Yeah. They're a river town. What is our, are we called the River City? What's our, not Mound City. There, we have a couple nicknames. They share some of the same nicknames. It's really weird how Winnipeg really is the St. Louis of Canada.
In the Music Man, when he's referring to River City, is he talking about St. Louis?
Yes.
Is he?
We've got trouble in River City.
Is it?
And that starts with T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. I don't think so.
What? Okay.
Those are the lyrics.
Somebody, we're asking all of you, So text us and let us know, yeah. Or you can drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app and let us know how you plan to approach Blues playoff games and what your superstition is going to be. There are a couple of texts here that come in. I'll just listen to you two and get a rundown of the game. Well, that's not as fun. You can listen to us and we'll talk about what happens.
You can't do that.
Another one. I'm not watching the games. Every time I try and watch, they lose.
Okay, well, that's fair. Don't watch.
I know a lot of people who are like that, especially in big moments of games. It's either they think by watching it's not going to help, or it's that they just can't bear to watch in the big moment of a game. Are you one of those?
No, but I do stand up and like cover my eyes and open and cover like I'm a parent. You know how they always show the moms in the stands watching her son or daughter play and she's got her eyes covered. I'm that. I don't know why. I walk around. I pace. I'm very frantic.
Sometimes I will in a basketball game.
Yeah.
If the opponent, let's say my team is down by a couple or whatever, it's back and forth and it's getting late, and the other team's coming down the floor and shoots a three, that couple of seconds, the ball's in the air. If I'm at the game, mm-hmm. I will look up, and I'll just wait to hear what the crowd reaction
really?
Is. Yeah, sometimes
see,
I do
I
that.
Have to see it. So when I say cover my eyes, I should clarify. I make a visor. I make a visor.
Yeah.
So I don't cover the eyeballs, just over the eyebrows. I make a visor. This is why I was a bit distracted. I'm sorry, Ronj, when you were first talking, I wasn't listening because I remembered Winnipeg, their nickname is Gateway to the West.
Is it really?
Isn't that crazy? Yep. It's a railway and transportation hub in Canada, and it is known as the Gateway to the West. Yeah, we're the riverboat hub. But isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
Yeah, there you go. Gateway to the Wests are competing against each other.
Here's another message.
Yep.
How can Amy make everything about her and still find a way to brag about running the Boston Marathon? LOL.
Oh. That's a great point.
It tends to happen.
It does.
Let us know what your superstition is, okay?
Okay.
314-436-7900.
This is a less fun request for our listeners. So I had a conversation this morning with my friends. We were all talking, and one of my friends, he had a Tesla, and he said they are de-Teslafying their house because of everything that's going on. So this guy, he's doing fine for himself. He's a surgeon, so he bought a Rivian. He bought a Rivian instead of a Tesla.
Yeah.
De-Teslafying.
Those are not cheap.
Now, another guy who's also a physician, so again, they're doing okay for themselves. They have a Tesla, but they said they're going to ride it out. They're going to ride it out. Like, they're not pro Elon, but listen, they like the electric car. They bought the Tesla. They bought it, you know, before it became a political statement. So they're going to ride it out. Do you think, so those were two people in a small group who are actively either keeping their Teslas or getting rid of them. And it's interesting, too, because remember, the Tesla initially launched to be green, environmentally friendly, right? Electric cars. I know all kinds of people across the political spectrum, but my first few friends or people I knew who got Teslas tended to be more left-leaning. And I want to know, are you keeping your Tesla? Are you riding it out? Would you want a Tesla, but now you can't buy one? I have a family member who said, I always thought Teslas were cool. It doesn't matter. I still want to get one. It's not a political statement. And then several other people said, no, you can't get one now because it is a political statement.
Yeah, if you want to make it a political statement, that's completely up to you.
But what if you don't?
You just
like the car and you like
fine.
Electric.
You could do whatever you want.
Would you buy one?
I would not, but the reason I would not do it is I know people who have them.
Yeah.
And I have heard that they're a little jankier than they should be. Like there's a quality control issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know because I haven't actually driven one for myself. So I can't make that judgment. But if I know there are other mm-hmm. options out there and some of them are probably better, then maybe Tesla 5 years ago or 10 years ago was that and was made well. then that would be different. But if they're not now, if there is a quality control issue, which I've heard people talk about, then it seems like there are other better options out there.
And see, I wouldn't, because I'm just not a fan of electric cars. I don't think they're the panacea that we are saying that they could be.
I don't think they're saying that it's a panacea, but it's something that could help.
And I have a friend who said, he goes, I'm just in favor of more energy, meaning I think it's great if we have some gas cars, and I think it's great if we have some electric cars. You go all electric, you still need to power the grid. You're going to be using coal anyway. I would say if I were to get an electric car, I just don't like the way they look. I don't like Teslas. I don't like Rivians. This is me. It's personal. I get it. If I were to get an electric car, honest to goodness, I'd get a Prius hybrid. To me, that seems like the perfect little compact hybrid.
Where it's, you're using, you still have gas, but you also have electric.
And it's
I think I would probably go that route too.
Yeah.
Especially because if you drive any length, any distance, I don't know if I like the idea of having to stop midway and then sit there for 15 or 20 minutes and charge.
How much battery anxiety I get?
Yeah.
With my phone, anything that's battery, like your phone, I don't know, headphones.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Like if you just drive locally, pure electric makes sense, but if you do take road trips where you're driving a couple hundred miles or more, you may not, it may be a little uncomfortable. I wouldn't like it.
I can't drive to Colorado on electric. It would take too long.
So the EPA has issued a new timeline on the cleanup at the West Lake landfill. To talk about it with us, Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel are the founders of Just Moms STL. They will join the show next here on 104.1 FM. Tammy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX. As I mentioned, there is an updated timeline issued by the Environmental Protection Agency about the West Lake landfill cleanup. And to learn more, or to tell us more about what that timeline is and what happens next, the founders of Just Moms STL, Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel, are with us on KMOX. How are you guys doing? Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So tell us what the old timeline was and what the new timeline is supposed to be.
So the old timeline was, well, we didn't really even have a start date. And it looks like they had 2029 as hypothetical, but they had never shared that with our community. But now it looks like we've got an updated start date of 2027, to which we are thrilled.
Dawn, did they say any reason why they expedited the plan?
So they did. They actually went and laid out a pretty detailed timeline of milestones of when things are due and what has to happen to get to 2027. And so we were extremely surprised because we didn't expect to see any dates. All we thought was we were going to get a report on kind of what technically needs to be done at the site and that it would happen when it happened.
One of the things that Administrator Zeldin asked for when he was in town was a 21-day, gave the administrator, the regional administrator, a 21-day deadline to come up with, hey, what's going on? Let's get a timeline. What are the barriers and what are your needs? And through that, there were needs identified for additional staffing and whatnot. So I think that that was another reason why they could put this timeline together and cut a couple of years off of that.
Certainly, it is a complicated issue, and there are a lot of moving parts, so it takes some time to put together an effort to clean this up. I get that, but I'm still a little surprised to hear that you're happy to hear the 2027 time frame here, because a little over 2.5 years, it must still feel like a very long time to people who live in the area.
It does feel like that. However, we have little things to work towards that he has laid out within that. And so while 2027 is when the first scoopful of radioactive waste on the site will leave, there will be a lot of things going on at the site visually to prepare for 2027. So for us, it's like going in for surgery, right? I mean, surgery kind of starts for you when you get the IV.
Can you?
So,
yeah.
If well, that makes sense.
It does. Can you describe some of those little things that you have to do to lead up to the surgery, so to speak?
Sure. So, one of the things is, as Karen mentioned, they need to bring in some more specialized staff. We were really excited to see that because we agree with that. And so once those staff get lined up, we need to finish the design plan. It's over 90% done. So we just have 10% left. And that's the plan for how to remove it and where it's going to go. And so those are just little steps. But the biggest obstacle that this administrator will face is getting the Department of Energy to sign on and agree to pay for this cleanup.
So this is going to happen, right? I mean, there are no potential roadblocks as far as you are aware.
There was one roadblock we were very frightened of. We still a little bit are, which is that the Department of Energy is going to thumb its nose, right? And not come in here and not sign. And that document is actually talked about in this report. It's ready for them to sign. They could do it tomorrow. But there's a little paragraph below that that basically says, hey, so if they don't, we're going to go through and force them to do the work. And that's what we were looking for, is that boot, right, so to speak, on the neck of the Department of Energy, who is the creator of all this radioactive waste.
So why wouldn't they? What would be the reasoning behind them not signing this and just letting it move forward?
You know, I think, honestly, the liability. I think that the Department of Energy has made so many people in this region sick. I mean, they are the ones that were part of the Manhattan Project. They created it. So really, everybody's illness falls down on them. It's their fault. And having them step up to the plate at this site, because it's so much worse right now than we knew it was 7 years ago. But to see EPA say, hey, so you're going to do it, we're going to ask nicely, or we're going to make you do it, basically means we're going to bring in the Department of Justice and sue you.
You know,
so I think that's a pretty big threat in
yeah.
that little document.
Yeah. No. And the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, who visited the site, he said that seeing the fallout of the radioactive waste and how it's made so many members of the community sick was very moving. He was moved by that. Did you have an opportunity to talk to him? Were you able to see his response? And how much do you think him being moved by the consequences of the Westlake landfill helped accelerate this process?
We did, and all of it. You know, we visited two sites. One was on top of Westlake landfill, and the other we went to Coldwater Creek with him. He was very touched and very moved, actually very emotional. You know, I if you're not, after seeing what we had shown him, you're broken. If you're not moved by the things, the stories, the stories he heard while sitting in the small round table meeting that we had with a couple of other community members that have been impacted, and then actually standing on top of radioactive waste underneath your feet, and then seeing the creek firsthand, standing in a park where children like myself have been exposed and are very ill, it is emotional. And if you do not get choked up a little bit, you're broken. It's hard.
And so you're saying that he did get emotional in that way by hearing some of the stories.
Yes, he did.
We were on top of Westlake at one point with him and Senator Hawley, and it was Karen, myself, Senator Hawley, and the administrator, and a big gust of wind came. And it wasn't even a really windy day. It's the location of the landfill and how high up it is. And I think both of them just got this look of horror on their face. And he actually said, my God, it's windy up here. And, you know, the senator responded to, he's like, that is not something I was prepared for. It really, really is windy on this site. And he turned around and you could see all the areas that were surface radioactivity that are now covered with this white rock. And he checked with the EPA. He said, all of that was just sitting on the surface exposed to wind like this for over 40 years. I mean, he had a moment, you could see, he was putting it together.
Wow. I am so glad that they had that moment to cement in their minds that they were going to help accelerate this process. And you bring up Senator Josh Hawley, and he really has been working on this as well. And when he was pressing Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrators, to visit the Westlake landfill, Hawley said, echoed what you just said. He said, the government caused this mess. The government lied about it. Now the government needs to clean it up.
That's right. That's right. We agree with that. And I think we stand by them. And this, I think, was the first time he'd really been on top of the landfill to the senator. So it was an experience with all of it. But I do, you know, for Karen and I, there is a very detailed timeline to get to 2027. So we're going to be doing a lot of community meetings. It's going to be a lot of hard work for Just Moms STL, because we're going to have to communicate step by step and work hand in hand with EPA to get to 2027.
When you look at this accelerated process to clean up the landfill, what about the other side of things? I know last time we talked, Don, just the horrific phrase, it's too late for a lot of people. It's too late. Is there any talk about financial help for medical bills or treatment for the people who are made so ill by this?
We are working very hard, even this week, you know, the week before Easter here, on RECA, which is the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. Senator Hawley is still fighting hard behind the scenes and trying to get more people on board. You know, we're having some really great conversations, for instance, with Representative Bob Onder's office, who has a huge chunk of RECA out in St. Charles. So, you know, we are still hopeful for that. It's just, it's a heavy lift. And I think to your point, yes, when people are already sick, you're asking them to come in and lift hard. That's a level of exhaustion, right? That seems very unfair. And I think that's what we see. You know, we have a lot of volunteers and people that support us, but because they're sick, they come and go. Does that make sense? So, but we are committed, Karen and I, just like we were, you know, almost 13 years ago, to see this through toward to the end and see RECA through no matter what it takes.
You've been working closely with Senator Hawley on this. I know you worked with Representative Bush when she was in office. How much contact have you had with Wesley Bell since he has taken her spot?
We've had a lot of contact with Representative Bell. And, you know, he was reaching out even before he was elected to get an update in the event that he would win. And I think you know, it seems almost like seamless, if you will, that transition to us. Yeah. But it's just really hard because the Republicans are in the majority in the House. And so while he is very supportive, we're going to need to get RECA carried by a Republican and then co-signed on by a Democrat is how it's going to work. And so, but he has been, you know, making as many meetings as he can on his own, trying to educate his own members of the House of Representatives on what's happened in St. Louis so that they understand, because we're behind. St. Louis is still the secret city. While RECA is being worked on nationally, so many people are like, well, wait a minute. Why is Missouri? Why is St. Louis? Right. And then you start explaining and showing them this and their jaws drop.
Would it make sense that Hawley would help advocate and bring over some of the Republicans in the House?
You know, he is working on that. It is one thing we've learned from being in D.C.
Yeah.
The House is a very different animal. It is just very, very different in the House. And so I think that while he certainly does what he can, he also is very careful to educate and give them an opportunity to lift it so that he's not stepping on toes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a very delicate thing that. You know, but he does a really good job with it.
Because there is so much confusion right now regarding DOGE cuts and spending, was there any concern that somehow the focus on DOGE would slow down either the cleanup or getting RECA money for people here at the Westlake landfill area?
We're not seeing that at all behind the
Okay.
scenes. And that was something that we brought up to Administrator Zeldin because obviously kind of the elephant in the room, right? Are we going to have staff cut that are going to impact it? And he assured us that that would not happen. And I also want to encourage people, focusing on Westlake right now in these toxic sites, it does mean that he is committed to seeing that to the end, which means if staff are needed, then that's his responsibility to pull them in. So this is a good opportunity for those that are afraid EPA is going to be gutted to get behind this and say, hey, so here's why we need a strong EPA. Like there isn't, does that make sense? That there
Yes.
isn't, we hear the fear, we get a lot of comments like that on our social media and messages, but that's kind of our response. Well, this is why you should get involved with this because we're demonstrating the need here.
Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel with Just Moms STL. As always, we really do appreciate talking to the both of you, and we will continue to get updates from you. And it is good news that this is moving forward and the timeline has been moved up. So thank you for talking about it with us today.
As always, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Dawn Chapman and Karen Nickel with Just Moms STL. With Amy Marks Kors, I'm Chris Ronji. Did you see this? Next on 104.1 FM.
Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
Did you know that next summer, July 4th, 2026, is America's 250th birthday? It makes sense, with the Declaration of Independence being 1776, but I just wasn't doing the math. But yeah, 250 years. Bit of a problem. Doge's cost cutting is getting in the way of the grand celebration that President Trump has ordered for America's 250th birthday. So President Trump wants all of these cities and councils across the country to plan a celebration like none other. He called it a, quote, extraordinary celebration. And he even signed an executive order in his first few days in office to create a federal task force to plan it. The problem is the National Endowment for the Humanities is a big part of that task force, and Doge just cut 80% of their staff.
So they didn't think it through, is what you're saying.
It seems so. And
interesting.
So now the organizations involved on the task force, since they all had their staff cut, said they likely won't be able to execute the big patriotic plans they had been making.
I feel like Doge operates like, let's say you're on a plane and you're in the sky and they realize we need to lose some weight. We need to lose some of the weight on this plane. So you start throwing things out and they throw out the parachutes.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really help all that much, but then you've lost the safety net for yourself. They're not thinking things through.
Well, Ronj.
But hey, is there still money for that military parade that the president wants later this year? For the Army's birthday?
I don't know.
I'll be curious
to
find out. So you know that a person who appears to be going through some sort of mental episode broke into the governor's mansion in Pennsylvania and set fire to it and also intended to hit Governor Shapiro with a hammer. His name is Cody Ballmer. He has been arrested. He's 38 years old. His family... and I don't know if you saw this or not, but his family had been trying to get him help in the days leading up to it, saying that he was doing things like eating batteries.
Oh, my God.
He was chewing on batteries. And they went to the authorities because they were trying to have him committed. But the officials said that they, by law, they could not do anything because he had not directly threatened anybody just yet. So clearly this person, and they're still looking for a real motivation. His family says it was not political, wasn't a hate crime. He's just going through some sort of severe mental illness episode. But he was chewing on batteries.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I had seen that he had posted some weird political stuff in the past, which it would not be unusual for someone going through mental issues. I thought some of them were, one of them was more of a he was angry against the Democratic Party, wanted more socialist policies. Another part was white supremacy. He was
probably all
supremacy.
Over the place.
He was all over the place.
That happens.
Yeah. And so, geez Louise, I don't know what to say. The batteries thing. Jeez,
nuts.
That's awful.
Yeah. It's a good thing nobody really got seriously hurt in that. It really is. The Blues have made the playoffs for the first time in years, and Lou Korak, who covers the Blues for NHL.com, with us next. Well, they did it. They did it. The St. Louis Blues are a playoff team again. They made it, everybody. With a win last night, they did away with any having to worry about what Calgary does or any other team does. And they won decisively against the Utah Hockey Club.
They controlled what they could control.
And they sure did, man.
Yeah.
They went to town last night. 6-1 win over Utah. And to talk about the upcoming playoff series against Winnipeg is Lou Korak, who covers the Blues for NHL.com and the Hockey News, an old friend. And he is with us now. What's up, Lou?
Old? Did you just say old?
It was old with an apostrophe.
Lou, yeah, old. Well, and also, our good friend Robert Bortuzzo, who may have played his last game last night, didn't he used to call you Tommy Two-Tone?
He did? Maybe.
Wait, what?
Amy, you just caught me with a new... Wow.
That's what.
Did I miss something
Tommy
here?
Tommy Two-Tone.
Whoa.
I thought he did.
Why would he call him that?
I don't know.
Amy,
did he say you had gray hair?
Wow.
I don't recall that, but maybe you're right. I mean, you may be right.
I guess he did it behind his back, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think he did
it.
I thought he... At any rate,
you are so
we have a new
awkward.
Segue here, right?
I feel terrible. I feel terrible. Well, at any rate, maybe he didn't call you that. I don't know. Robert Bortuzzo, and he was a jokester. He roomed with Joey Vitale in Scranton. They had all kinds of stories together.
Yeah, he's one of the best. I'll be honest with you. If that was it for him last night, I think it's a fitting way to go out because, you know, of all the places that he played, you know, this is home to him. Even though he's a Thunder Bay, Ontario boy. And I mean, he had his parents, I think they said that's a 1400-mile drive, if I'm not mistaken. His parents drove down last night to be at the game.
Right.
Dedication.
When they said they drove down, my first thought was the plane broken? What happened?
Yeah.
Because that is no joke.
I wanted to catch him after the game, and I'm really sorry that I didn't. But he was in the Blues players lounge last night, and I had mentioned that. I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, here's a guy that just played with Utah last night, but he's in there mingling with Blues players and spouses and whatnot. It just goes to tell you just what he means to a lot of these guys in that locker room. And there's some of them that he doesn't know, but I mean, he was one of the fan favorites. But I wanted to ask him, buddy, could you not spare a plane ticket for your parents or what?
Right. I think he's doing okay for himself. I mean, he had a nice little career there in the NHL, including a Stanley Cup championship with the Blues. Lou, and I know before I threw us off with Tommy Two-Tone, before I messed it all up, this team, looking at what they've done since the Four Nations Cup, going into the playoffs now against none other than the Winnipeg Jets in round one. Are there any similarities or differences that stand out to you between this team and the 2019 team? Because we're all stuck on that 2019 team.
Well, just the fact that they pulled off a franchise record winning streak. And I know a lot of people want to make comparisons, and I guess if you dissect it and if you really sit down and thought about it and looked at it, you could probably find some similarities there. But to me, it kind of starts and stops there because, you know, that 2019 team was expected to win from the get-go. And when they came out and quite frankly, they stunk it up for the first 2.5, 3 months? Mm-hmm. And you know, last place in the league, talking about what, turn of the calendar into January. It was January 3rd. They're, you know, you look down, there's nobody below you. So that team was expected to win with the moves that Doug Armstrong made. And when it didn't work out, something needed to change. And, you know, that they just kind of finally started playing up to their capabilities. But this group, you didn't really know. I mean, were the possibilities there? Sure. But if they didn't make it, I think you could kind of understand. And I think just the general feeling was, can they continue to progress over the last couple of years? Yes, last 2 years were non-playoff years, but can they continue to take those steps when they talk about retooling a roster? And then, you know, you go on that 12-game winning streak, you know, and they topple the winning streak of quite honestly, and coincidentally, that team that set it in the first place, that's just kind of where it starts and stops with me, because there's a lot of younger players on this team that have really helped carry the load. It's a mix of veterans and young guys. And when I talk about the young guys, I mean, look at what a great night for Jimmy Snuggerud to get his first NHL goal and in the most meaningful game of his young career, and Zach Bolduc knocking on the door of 20 goals. And I thought a couple different times he was going to get it and just fell short. And then you talk about the growth of Philip Broberg and some of the others that have really stepped into this and helped contribute to what's going on here. That's just kind of where it starts and stops with me. But I think if you want to make any similarities, I think a good spot to start with is that WTF line with Faxa, Toropchenko, and Walker. It sort of reminds you the way they play, just abrasive, in-your-face, physical, checking, kind of like that fourth line that the Blues had back in 2019 with, what was that, Amy? I think it was Steen, Barbashev, mm-hmm. and Sundqvist. So, you know, other than that, they've kind of been built differently, but, you know, kind of going on similar paths here in order to get into the playoffs. And, a common first-round opponent. It was Winnipeg in 2019. It's going to be Winnipeg again.
So let's say they are to potentially win a series against Winnipeg. How would they have to do it?
Oh, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to grind it out. I mean, you're going to be looking at, to have success, you're probably going to be looking at a lot of 2-1, 3-2 kind of games where you're just going to have to ground and pound. You hear that all the time. It's going to be a physical. It's going to be a bruising series. Winnipeg is big. They're strong. They don't give you a whole lot of ice in the middle. And I think you witnessed that when the Blues were just up there, 9 days ago? And that was the team that ended their 12-game winning streak and might have been one of the best games that Winnipeg has played here in the last little stretch. They had a blueprint. They stuck to it. And even in saying that, I know it was a 3-1 game, but they got an empty netter late. That's a one goal game. And the Blues have lost 3 out of 4 against the Jets going 1-2-1, but every game has been a one goal game. And I discount the empty netters, and I know it counts for stats purposes and whatnot, but they've all been one goal games. So that's what you need to expect. I think you just have to be patient, and bide your opportunity. You're going to have to play your best. I mean, last night was a great blueprint, especially at the start of that game. And I don't know how much of the game you guys were able to watch, but if you guys watched, Jim Montgomery said after the game, I knew after the first 8 minutes we were going to win that game. And they played north. They played in your face. They checked. They were aggressive. That's how you're going to have to play against the Jets, too, if you're going to have some success.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jets are a heavy forechecking team. They're aggressive. They take it to you. And if you get hemmed in by the Jets, you're just not going to get the opportunities, the quality opportunities that you're going to need to score on Connor Hellebuyck. I think last night, too, what I liked to see in that Blues win was 3 power play goals. In the playoffs, Lou, you know you have to be able to score on the power play. That was their death in 2016-17 when they went out in the first round. They couldn't score on the power play.
Yeah, you know, you hear coaches talk about it all the time. Special teams make all the difference in the world. And, I mean, they outscored Utah 3-1 in that category last night. And ultimately, you know, I think the power play was kind of the icing on the cake because, I mean, they just came out like a buzzsaw playing 5-on-5 in that game. And then you get those – you create your power power play opportunities, Amy. You know that. And watching the game, I mean, the way they were skating and what Utah wasn't expecting from them, the Blues forced a lot of those opportunities to get on the man advantage. And once you get on the man advantage, you got to take advantage of it. And they certainly did. And I think the only slip up they had was when they had the 5-on-3 for a minute and six and really didn't produce much. But at 5-on-4, they were fantastic in that game. But yeah, I mean, if you get power play opportunities against Winnipeg, you're going to have to take advantage of them as many as you can, because 5-on-5, it's going to be tough sledding for both of these teams.
Blues and Jets are coming up on the road in Winnipeg. We don't know the exact day yet. We'll find that out tomorrow. Lou Korak covering the Blues. Thank you again, friend.
Thank you both. Take care.
That is Lou Korak, Blues writer for NHL.com and the Hockey News.
A swing and a miss. A slider strikes out Walker. This ballgame has come to an end. Hayter gets the save, the win to Hunter Brown, and Houston even up the series at a game apiece, shutting out the Cardinals 2-0.
So far, the Cardinals and the Astros have tied in this series. The rubber match is today. They will try to win it. It is a 12:15 first pitch and an 11:20 pregame show. So we are just over an hour away from Cardinals pregame today. It is time to go to the guest line, and we welcome in the voice of the Cardinals you just heard right there. It is John Rooney who will have the call today. What's going on, John?
Well, beautiful day here. I think we're going to have some weather.
Uh-oh.
Because it's weather day.
Oh.
The weather we have is very nice, very pleasant, 57 degrees up on the scoreboard, the ribbon board of the bullpens, and few wispy clouds. See downtown, we're in the flight pattern for Lambert with planes coming over, and the kids are screaming and yelling as they're making some kind of volcano down there or something.
They're making a volcano.
They're demonstrating weather and patterns and something and another, and the kids are into it and having a great time.
Yeah, don't do that thing where you say we're going to have weather, because I thought it was going to be sunny all day, and then you made me worried.
We have weather every day, whether it's good or bad.
That's true.
He's got a point, Ronge.
It's true, but when people say, I got weather, it's like saying, I have a back. It means I have a bad back,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about since a week back.
How long has that been going on?
Yeah, exactly.
So the Cardinals are playing
I can't see, I can't see. Why? I have my eyes closed. You know, that's right out of the Three Stooges.
Stooges. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Not the Stooges.
I love the Stooges.
Oh, who doesn't?
I think Amy? It might be more of a guy thing. I hope that's not rude to say that. But I think it's more, I think the Stooges.
I think it's very rude.
Yeah, it's super. Thank you, John. John, you are right. That is so rude, Amy.
My dad likes it.
Yeah. I mean,
you can laugh at it. It's okay. We won't hold it against you.
One of my favorites was they were hiding from somebody, and there was a lion directly behind them. And I think it was Mo and Shemp. And the lion is breathing on Mo's neck, and they don't know it's right behind him. And Mo says, quit breathing down my neck. And Shemp says, I ain't breathing.
Of course not.
Come on. The Stooges are the best. All right.
That reminds me of a story when KMOX started Sports Open Line. They didn't have, like, the mix minus to go through the microphone, and I think it was Jim Butler who had to hold the phone to his ear and then, you know, talk over the phone to go on the air taking calls. And you could hear him breathing. I guess Mr. Hyland called up the engineer in the booth. Tell him to stop breathing.
That's the best. That is so good.
You know, whatever.
All right, John. You know, this team is playing a whole lot better baseball. We know they lost last night. That is going to happen.
Ran into a good pitcher last night.
Hunter Brown
was just that much better than Eric Fetty. And Fetty got into a lot of trouble and got out of it, and I thought he pitched a terrific game, but just didn't get any run support. Two innings where the Cardinals had second and third and couldn't even get a run, and when Alvarez hit his home run late in the game, it felt like a 20-0 score. Just one of those games, and kind of like the game that Christopher Sanchez pitched on Saturday for Philadelphia. But the Cardinals bounced back, won the next day, and that's what they'll try to do today against Ronel Blanco. And it's going to be Steven Matz making his first start after appearing out of the bullpen and looking very good to open up 2025.
Well, one thing the Cardinals have done, though, up until last night, is they have had really good success against good pitching in the last couple of weeks.
That they have against the top name pitchers, and I think you're going to have a reputation growing big time for Sanchez and for Hunter Brown, too, the way they attack the strike zone and move it around, up, down, in, out, changing speeds. It was a good performance last night. But again, Eric Fetty, who threw six no-hit innings at Pittsburgh, his last outing, and to look at his line, six innings, six hits, one run earned. He walked three, struck out five, and worked around those walks. But it was a lead double by Jeremy Peña in the sixth inning. And a great diving catch by Jordan Walker in right field. He made two really good plays back-to-back. He caught the ball that Diaz hit, but Jake Meyers' third hit just dropped in front of Walker. He caught it on a bounce, got up, made a good throw to the plate, but Peña had a good break for the plate and scored the first run, and as it turned out, that's all they needed. But I can't rave enough about Jordan Walker and his improvement in the outfield, and really the outfield play overall by the Cardinals so far early in the season has been terrific.
Yeah, Walker's defense has not gone unnoticed in just how much improvement there has been. And it is noticeable, John, when you watch him play. You can tell he looks a lot more comfortable than maybe he did last year.
Well, it's the routes he takes, the way he goes about his business. And John Jay is holding all of the outfielders accountable for what they do. He doesn't want them taking one pitch a game off. Pay attention. Be in the game. Be in the moment. So far they are, and man, is it showing up big time.
The Cardinals are going to need that defense for sure this season to help out the pitching staff. And you mentioned Steven Matz, who is getting the start, as the Cardinals are, you know, sort of going to that sixth-man rotation kind of situation, which is not typical. It does happen, but it's atypical. So how do you think they want to treat him, or what is the expectation for how he's going to be treated as a starter? Just like any other starter, if he wants to go eight, he can?
I don't know if he can go eight, but he's stretched out, and he can hopefully get a little deeper into the game, go five or six for sure, if that's possible. And the Cardinals made a move today with Rodery Munoz going back down, and they called up Matt Svensson, who has been closing and looked really good in the Arizona Fall League. And so he's on the roster today and available out of the bullpen, as the Cardinals are with the six-man rotation, man short in the bullpen.
Well, first of all, it sounds like that volcano down there is a hit.
They're having a great time. I don't know if they're building a tornado now or what.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're working on down there. But Fred Bird's right in the middle of it, and he's really stirring them up. So,
no kidding.
We have weather today.
Yeah, no
weather day
kidding.
At the park.
Hey, John, I know there's been a lot of talk about what to expect or not to expect from this Cardinals team. Obviously, some uncertainty with what they'll be at the end of the season. But I think, to me, they're a fun team to watch, and a big reason is because they're young. There's guys out there growing, proving themselves. It's not like they're all known commodities who've been in the league a long time, and it is what it is. I think what makes it so exciting is the youth, and the youth means that the cap isn't what you think it might be.
Well, these guys were good to get drafted to begin with, or to be signed, or to be on a major league roster. And the word out of spring training was for Walker, for Wynn, for Lars Nootbaar, certainly Victor Scott II, Pedro Pajes, for Ivan Herrera, and now for Joel Pozo, who's going to be catching in the game today. You have a runway. Just because you make a mistake or two, you're not out of here. And you have a runway, so take that and perform. And what they've done is improve, where they're not in danger of being sent down to Memphis because they played so well. And I like the habit that they're in at the plate. It doesn't seem to matter if the Cardinals are ahead or they're behind. These guys go in there and try to give a good at-bat, a good performance, a good accounting of themselves every time they step in. And so far, that's working. That's what makes this team exciting. They give themselves a chance. Didn't work out on Saturday. They grounded into five double plays, lost to Sanchez and the Phillies, grounded in some more double plays last night, and losing to Hunter Brown. But they'll go after the Roel Blanco today and try to win two out of three, and you end up winning four out of six on the homestand the way the Cardinals did the opening homestand by sweeping Minnesota and taking a game in the three-game series with the Angels. Then I'd say you're ready to go back on the road and face a really good New York Mets team and then face a Braves team that is still trying to find its identity. So you take the game in front of you today, and that's what the guys are doing, and I think that's why they're playing very exciting baseball.
All right, John, we will let you get back to it. You can learn a thing or two about the weather. You can answer the phone. Try to calm down the screaming children. There's a lot going on at the ballpark right now, so we'll let you get to it.
There's much going on, but back to the lineup card as we get started. First pitch today thrown by Steven Matz, 12:15.
12:15 it is. John Rooney, we'll talk to you soon, and we'll hear from you soon. The pregame show starts at 11:20, so we are less than an hour away from Cardinals programming here on KMOX, and the first pitch is happening at 12:15 today. That's right. Steven Matz is in the starting rotation, so here we go. If there's anything we are other than negligent, I don't know what it is. On the Chris and Amy show, and we are doing the Tournament of Negligence because we were a bit negligent in our Mott's Madness Pizza Tournament. There were some discrepancies. There was some oversight. There were some issues. And in order to make up for it, we have started the Tournament of Negligence.
Don't!
And it turns out that we were negligent in our Tournament of Negligence as well.
I think that's fitting.
Yeah. So we are on to now the third round of the tournament because the second round has been decided, and we will tell you what the results are. But basically, in setting up our tournament, in the field...
Yes. Yes.
We had it set up. On both sides of the bracket.
We is doing a lot of work here.
Well, one person set up the bracket.
Who?
You.
Oh.
One person set up the bracket in such a way that the first and second seeds in our tournament, we had 32 entries into the tournament. Our first and second seeds, if they won their first round matchups, would face each other in the next round. That is not how tournaments work.
Well, yeah, you never know.
No, they just
don't.
Does
it take math, though, to figure that out?
Yeah, it takes some math.
Lots of math. Calculus, yeah. I think.
Calculus, yeah. We screwed it up. But anyway, the tournament rolls on anyway. It's a seeding negligence. That's what it is.
Would it... I feel like the Tournament of Negligence is more complete because we were negligent in crafting the tournament itself.
We have to tell you. And this is, you know, we screwed up the sandwich scandal.
We did.
We screwed up the Mott's Madness tournament.
We did.
We're screwing this up.
Yeah.
Swear to God, none of this intentional. Not a bit of this was done on purpose.
I think if anybody knows either of us personally, they pretty much know it was not intentional.
Oh, yeah.
My mom used to kind of get frustrated with me because I found a way to break things or forget things pretty frequently, even random, like curtains. How do you rip curtains? She had some pretty lace curtains, and somehow, I don't know, I set a mirror down, and the mirror caught the curtain. Long story short, she said, Amy, you know, if these were your items, you wouldn't forget them or you wouldn't break them. I go, no, I promise I'm trying. So anyway, fast forward, where I'm in my own apartment, living alone, breaking my own stuff at a much higher frequency. And she said, oh my gosh, all those years that was you trying.
Yeah.
You really were trying.
Yeah.
You were trying to be careful. You were trying not to be forgetful. That was your best effort.
Yeah, so with the two of us, there's a... I wouldn't say I'm clumsy, but I am forgetful.
You are forgetful to point that I do worry that there isn't some...
Early onset?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
We're never going to know.
Nope.
We're never going to be able to diagnose it early.
That's right. When I'm older and I'm having it for real, people think, well, that's just how he is. He always forgets stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you don't just forget it. I'll remind you. Remember, we did this. You said this. We interviewed this guest.
Do you know how many times I leave my place and have to go back in immediately to get something that I've forgotten?
80% of the time.
It's at least 70.
Do you know what's frustrating with that?
I will leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, damn. I go back in and get the thing, and then I'll leave and then forget something else and have to go back and get it.
That's why I could never live in a high rise. I would be so late for work because I would have to go all the way down to my car, across the street, to the garage, back across the street, back up the elevator, and back down.
But usually,
I don't have time for that.
Usually, Amy, I forget about it. I remember 4 or 5 steps from the door. So.
Oh, wow. But no, still, mine's at the car.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyway, the Tournament of Negligence rolls on, so we'll tell you what the matchups were, who won, and then who they're going to face. So the number one seed, Forgetting Your Child Is in the Car, has defeated Leaving the Stove On. And there were votes for Leaving the Stove On, by the way.
you vote?
it was before I even voted, there were people who had weighed in, and some people had chosen Leaving the Stove On over Forgetting Your Child in the Car.
I think I voted for Leaving the Stove On.
Did you?
Well, because you could burn down your house.
You could burn down a house and you could start a fire that destroys the neighborhood.
Right.
So, Forgetting Your Child Is in the Car plays the winner of Having Your Power Shut Off and Not Having Car Insurance. Well, the 4 seed, Not Having Car Insurance, has advanced. So Forgetting Your Child Is in the Car goes up against Not Having Car Insurance.
And a number 12 seed, Leaving Your Fly Unzipped, took on number 11 seed, Accidentally Taking Nursing Classes While Your Circuit Attorney.
Well, that wasn't an accident.
It was negligent. Taking Nursing Classes As Circuit Attorney has beaten Leaving Your Fly Unzipped. It will take on Forgetting Birth Control. Forgetting Birth Control defeated Letting Your License Plates Expire. I could see how one is more reversible than the other.
Well, this is Letting Your License Expire.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Letting Your License Expire.
Now, have you ever had your license expire? Like, I've done this.
Yeah.
Where I've forgotten because it expires on your birthday, whatever year it is. And I took a plane trip like 4 or 5 days later, and I just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the fact it was about to expire. And then I am going through security, and they're like, your ID's expired, you know? And I said, no, I didn't. They made me go through extra security, and they really searched me for bomb residue. Like, they swabbed my hands with cotton and then put it through a machine.
This guy, if he's the kind of guy that would let his license expire, he's probably a guy that might try to blow up a plane.
Yeah, that's right. Like, somebody who's going to do a terrorist thing, if I'm going to do terrorism, I'm going to have all of my ducks in a row first. Because I don't want to be checked. Right? Isn't that like...
Yes.
You want to make sure that everything is in order.
In a row. Yeah.
You've gone over the plan over and over again. You don't leave your license up for expiration.
Unless maybe they thought that you were so obsessed planning that horrific event that you forgot and let your license expire.
Yeah. That's not how terrorism works. That's not how I do it.
Oh my gosh. He's joking. He's not a terrorist.
I'm not a terrorist yet. Okay.
No.
The number one seed, Failing to Do Your Taxes.
Yeah.
Up against Not Brushing Your Teeth.
Uh-huh.
Which is very negligent, because if you don't brush your teeth, there was just another story about this today. Especially at night. You know, you want to brush in the morning, but you need to brush at night because it can lead to heart issues.
Oh my gosh. I heard a story of a man who went to the dentist for the first time in, say, 15, 20 years. And he had so much plaque that when they cleaned his teeth, he died.
Oh, what?
I promise.
Really?
Yeah. It was a heart thing. I've been terrified of it ever since.
Yeah. Like, bacteria and whatnot can get into your bloodstream through your gums.
Yep.
And it's so you have to.
That's what happened is, like, I think his gums were bleeding and he had plaque and bacteria and he died. And
brush your teeth at night.
And go to the dentist. I think that is a story that is up there because, you know, my 3 biggest fears are gum disease, mold and mildew, and going to prison for a crime I didn't commit. And really, the gum disease is that's part of it, going to the dentist and dying.
Well, Failing to Do Taxes, the one seed, defeated Not Brushing Your Teeth. I think there's an argument to be made that not brushing your teeth is more dangerous, but
You also announced that you're not doing your taxes this year.
So failing to do taxes has advanced. It now faces the four seed not flushing the toilet. Not flushing the toilet, defeated, not wearing a seatbelt.
Wow. One could kill you.
One could definitely kill you. The other one just...
is gross.
People just don't want to feel gross at home. That's why they picked not flushing the toilet. So failing to do taxes goes up against not flushing the toilet.
This is a pretty... I think this is an upset. Number 12, dropping your child into the gorilla pit, R.I.P. Harambe.
Mm-hmm.
Defeated number 11, leaving the snow unplowed as mayor.
I'm not surprised by this. Dropping your child in a zoo enclosure is super negligent.
Well, John Hancock almost dropped little Johnny into Big Cat Country. Yeah. So anyway, dropping your child into the gorilla pit, R.I.P. Harambe, will take on not renewing your license plates. A number 8 seed that defeated the number 10 seed, merging without using your blinker.
I think this is a bad result, too.
Really?
Merging without using a blinker is so negligent and dangerous on the road.
What about in a zipper merge when they have no choice but to merge? You know they're merging. It's a zipper.
Well, no, people put their blinker on for that, too. So it's just, it's dangerous. Because if you're not expecting a car to do that and then they just pop into your lane, they just introduce themselves without telling you first.
Yeah.
That's, you can cause a wreck. But anyway, it didn't win. Not renewing your license plates does. So we have four matchups that are going on right now that you can vote on, but you have to follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX. So click the follow button, go there, and you have the opportunity to vote for each of these matchups. So
I mean, these are good matchups.
For getting your child in the car versus not having car insurance, taking nursing classes while being the circuit attorney versus forgetting birth control, it is failing to do taxes, taking on not flushing the toilet, and dropping your child into the zoo enclosure versus not renewing your license plates. So those are your four matchups.
Really good matchups. I will say, I don't think this is negligence, but it could be negligence if I don't get it fixed. I sat down today, and when I sat down in the chair at work, like a cartoon, my button popped off my pants that's holding my pants closed, so I just have the zipper, but the little hook and latch holding my trousers up, it broke.
Well, you doing okay?
Well, I mean, they are a little snug. That's the thing. I think it was my belly. It was my stomach because they feel snug. And when I sat down, I felt a pop and my pants went bloop.
Well, Amy.
What?
Welcome to the real world.
Well, now I wonder how long it will be before I fix these pants. You know, I feel like I'm going to put them on and forget. And they go, oh, now I got to wear different pants. Anyway, I'm holding them closed right now.
We have tickets to give away to see the Battle Hawks play. We are going to give those away at some point before the show is over, and that's not long from now. 30 minutes before we get to Cardinals pregame, actually 35 minutes before the pregame show starts. Then they will finish up the series against the Houston Astros. It's Chris Ronji and Chubbs, Chris and Amy show.
Chubbs McGee. Chubbs McGee.
Oh, we're going to bring back the egg beat. We have an egg beat story for you.
Okay, good.
That's coming up next on 104.1 FM.
I think the far left politicians are going to destroy a great American car company. It's unfortunate. It's one of the most American-made cars. Almost all the parts are made in America, and they're going to destroy it. It's really unfortunate. Thousands of Americans are going to lose their jobs because of it.
Well, it's good that you're worried about people losing their jobs. I would hope that you're worried about all the jobs that Elon Musk has cut in the federal government, because those people have jobs. And I trust, Rick, and we appreciate your voice message. But I also trust that you felt the same way when everybody was boycotting Bud Light, because Anheuser-Busch is a good American company based right here in St. Louis. I know they're part of InBev now, but it's still made here. Made here. It's right down the road.
And worth noting,
I can go down and smell it.
And worth noting, when Elon Musk bought Twitter, he fired a lot of people.
Yeah.
On the spot.
And it runs very poorly, much worse than it used to.
And those, I know it's hard to quote unquote feel sorry for anyone working in tech because I get it. The tech world, when I think of tech, I think of Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and Sam Altman and all of these soulless people. However, the people that work for their companies, they're just normal Americans. Well, like our caller said, that work for Tesla.
Most federal government employees are just regular people.
Well, yeah, but the people who work for Tesla are regular people.
Right.
And even a lot of the people who worked for Twitter, these aren't the owners.
Right.
This is just the people who are in tech, who are in computers, who are in IT. They lost their jobs, too.
So it's, look, I hope that, and Rick is more than welcome to have that opinion, and a lot of people probably agree with him. I just hope he has the exact same opinion for federal workers who are just regular people. The vast majority of people who work for the federal government are your neighbors. They're people like us.
Well,
they're not like higher ups. They're not executives. They're not, they're not like in Congress, right? They're just regular people.
A friend of mine's son in engineering and got an intern position with SpaceX. And the parents were talking to him about it. Like, okay, well, are you excited about that? Does it bother you that it's Elon Musk? And he said, I just need a job.
Yeah.
I just need a job. And so there are a lot of people working at SpaceX, at Tesla, at Twitter, and as Ronch mentioned, the different government entities, they just want a job.
Right.
They need a salary. They need a paycheck.
Yeah.
And so you do need to separate a lot of times the worker from the boss.
Yeah. So and if you have sorrow for people with Tesla who might end up losing their jobs. And by the way, if that happens, that is squarely on Elon Musk. He didn't have to be this. He didn't have to get involved in government. He didn't have to do all this stuff. He didn't have to take it upon himself to slash hundreds of thousands of jobs and insert himself into our government with all of his money. He didn't have to do any of that. He could have just kept being Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX, and his companies would be doing just fine right now. This is squarely on his shoulders. He did this.
I will
not anybody else.
Say this. I'm sure we're going to talk about this more at length. I want to, but I'm still gathering my thoughts. Please read the profile in the Wall Street Journal. The tactics Elon Musk uses to manage his legion of babies and their mothers. Yes, he calls it a legion of babies and their mothers. He thinks that low birth rates are the end of the world. I get it. We need more birth rates, pronatalism and all of that. But his idea is it bothers him that third world countries are having babies. He thinks, and this is his philosophy, quote unquote, smart people should have babies. So he has sex with and donates sperm to as many women as he can that he thinks are smart. He obviously assumes he's a genius. And so he has fathered at least, 17 kids? But a lot of people think the number is higher. Several of his close confidants have said the number is higher. And I actually almost threw up a bit in my mouth reading this story about what a perverted and evil view of fatherhood, of having kids. He looks at humans like machines. He definitely seems like a guy who would be into genetic engineering of kids. But the way he has a handler to deal with and pay off all of these women, he'll solicit them on Twitter. Hey, you're smart. Do you want my sperm to father my child? He might be the grossest person I've ever read about.
Look, I hope that people are okay, and I don't want to see people lose their jobs, but I can't reiterate enough. He's at fault. It's his fault. If he could have just kept being the tech guy, the brilliant tech guy. He could have just done all that, but he chose not to. That's on him. Amy Markscores, Chris Ranji, and people that work for him suffer as a result, which sucks for them.
I know, and I'm totally sorry. I changed the subject because he's on my mind because I read this story.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores, because life is too short for boring radio. 104.1 FM, KMOX.
What day is it? Wednesday.
Wrong. Yes. It's Tuesday.
Is it?
Actually, no, it's Wednesday. Yeah, he's right.
Did I lose a day?
Yeah.
We are out in a little bit more than 10 minutes because we've got Cardinals baseball on the pregame show happening at 11:20 today. Cardinals and Astros at Busch Stadium. We are getting excited for that finale of the series. So the Cardinals, if they win, well, they'll beat the Astros 2 out of 3. That'll be a pretty good deal. They did well against the Phillies, mm-hmm. do well against the Astros, and then let's get back to 500.
Listen. I said this in 2020, probably at an inappropriate time, right when COVID was hitting us, everyone. Things were just starting to shut down. We were still living under the illusion of 2 weeks. And I said, listen, the only people who are going to come out of this on top are the Astros, because people are going to forget that the cheaters that they are.
Yeah.
So don't forget to hate the Astros. I've been saying that since COVID. They were the only ones who benefited from it. The Astros cheating scandal came out literally days before COVID. And then COVID took over the news. Don't forget to hate the Astros.
That's right.
That's it.
Let's talk to Jim in Illinois. Jim is with us. How's it going?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good.
I just completely disagree with your theory that Elon Musk is at fault for anything that's happening with Tesla or SpaceX. And why would you blame Elon Musk for the people who are burning Teslas and the people who are rioting and more than likely are being paid to do it?
Well, we don't have any evidence they're being paid to do it. That's number one. Number two,
I don't think you brought up, did you bring up the rioting and destruction?
No, I did not. Yeah, also I didn't bring those things up. Yeah. What I'm saying is he would not have ill will toward him if he did not insert himself into our government and he was not elected. That's why people are upset with him. And you can blame him for Tesla and for anything that happens with SpaceX. You know why? Those are his companies. When you are in charge of companies, it is your fault. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, like I said, I have a completely different viewpoint on it. He has done a good job of eliminating government waste, and we should all appreciate the fact that he has worked hard to find people who are getting paid out of government funds that you and me are paying for. That people aren't working.
Do you think, Jim? Let me ask you a question. What evidence do you have that all of the people he is letting go are people who aren't showing up to work? Because that's not what we're hearing. We're hearing a lot of people who do have necessary jobs or just got promoted within their organizations who are losing work.
Coordinating meals on wheels. Cleaned
working.
Up trash at the national parks during peak season.
Yeah. Or the people that he let go and had to bring back because he didn't think it through. Those who were watching the nuclear stockpile of weapons we have. He let those people go.
I agree that, you know, that they have thrown out bunches of people and then realized that some of those people were viable.
Right. Doesn't that process bother you?
What's that?
Doesn't that bother you that they didn't think it through first?
Well,
The
government and the people that work for the government is such a complex issue.
Right. That's why you don't go in it with a sledgehammer. I appreciate the phone call, but we don't have a ton of time here. That's exactly why it should bother you what the process is, that it is complex, that it takes some time. That if you want to really, truly be efficient, sit down, go through each place. Don't look at the way they're doing it is basically looking at spreadsheets and saying, well, there's a lot of money going to this particular organization. Doesn't seem like we need that much money going there. Cut.
And
that is not the way to do it. You need to go through and with surgically and determine, do we need this person? Yes. Do we need that person? Probably not. You have to do it that way. That's the only smart way to do it. Otherwise, if you have to rehire people you let go, you're telling me you don't know what you're doing. Because if people have to tell you after the fact, like, hey, no, we need those people. And then you go, oh, shoot. Yeah, I guess we do. that tells me your process is really, really bad.
And the thing is, you know, we talk about $2 trillion in debt, how you can't run a country that way. You could fire every single federal worker and we'd still be like $1.6 trillion in debt.
That's right.
I get it, and don't let perfect be the enemy of good. We can make some cuts to fraud and wasteful spending, but like I said, you could cut every single federal worker, period, and we would still be in what the callers are saying is an untenable position. That is not where our debt is coming from, and a lot of these federal workers are doing things that help keep our daily lives going. Yeah. And so that is a huge issue. And if Trump is saying we're going to cut waste and fraud and we're going to reverse the debt, you're not. You're not. Even if you look at all of the pork spending, right, and you look at the waste, it is a fraction of our debt. If you want to look at debt, and again, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying the only way to really look at debt and cut into it is to look at entitlement spending, to look at
and
Medicare,
military.
And Medicaid, and military. If you pretend that you can deal with our debt without looking at entitlements and military spending, you're living a lie. And that's what Trump is promoting. It's okay to say, I want to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. It is a lie to say that we can reverse our debt by cutting out all waste, fraud, and abuse. That's a lie. It just doesn't work that way. There's not nearly enough. He's ignoring the big issues. And people are under the impression, well, if we fire a couple of national park workers, maybe we'll be able to cut into the deficit. We can't.
We have a pair of Battlehawks tickets to give away. Really, they are vouchers that you can buy tickets or get tickets. You don't have to buy them. If you win these, you get to pick a regular season game to go to at the Battle Dome. And let's give those away now to the contest line at 955-1120. We need caller number 5. 955-1120. That's a 314 number. And caller number 5 will get those tickets. We also are going to give away tickets tomorrow and Friday as well. So you still have an opportunity to get in. Do we want to take another phone call before we go away? Or?
Well, it depends if you wanted to do that or the egg beat.
We could finish the show on the egg beat. I don't know.
I'll help you decide.
Okay. Well, I guess we're doing the egg beat.
Well, you promised me. You said, hey, I've got an egg story. And I thought, we haven't had an egg beat recently. People are wondering.
Well, the Department of Justice is investigating.
Oh.
Cal Maine is the largest egg producer in the country.
Is that a single chicken or a company?
A really, really big
chicken. Yes, it's a chicken named Cal Maine. Cal Maine is the largest egg producer in the country. Its profits for the first 3 months of 2025 have skyrocketed $508 million. That is more than three times the level from the year before.
What?
Despite the fact there's supposedly an egg shortage and there's bird flu and all of this stuff, here's one of these major companies that is taking advantage of you. Well, the Department of Justice is apparently going to investigate them. So this is the kind of stuff we were talking about with the gouging during COVID and post-COVID, and companies saying, well, supply chain, you know, we have to. And that was probably true for a while. But, you know, once they raised prices on you, they were going to continue to take advantage of you and tell you that they had to. They had to raise them even more because of, you know, whatever. This company, three times the profit from the year before. That is gouging. And I hope they get absolutely smoked by the Department of Justice. But my guess is they won't.
Well, I'm glad that the Department of Justice is looking into it. Man, Lori lives at Aldi. She said eggs are still $4.97 at Aldi.
Oh, they are?
Lori has kept us up to date. Lori is on the egg beat like no one else. Thank you, Lori.
Average price for 12 eggs is $5.97 right now.
Yeah.
That in the country.
Well, again, like I said, I'm glad they're catching, because I'm sure not, it sounds like not all the egg companies are gouging. It was primarily
Not all of them. It's the larger, like the smaller farms are not necessarily doing it, and they would have higher prices anyway because they're smaller.
Well,
but when you have these major companies, these major corporations taking advantage of all of us, we should be up in arms about it.
What's funny is some of these smaller egg companies or like farmers market eggs, they're now almost cheaper. You can get organic farm-raised eggs cheaper than a big Calmain type egg.
You know what? Eggs sound good right now. I would love to have some eggs.
I had eggs for breakfast and lunch yesterday.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Hey, we're going to do this again tomorrow, if you don't mind. 9 o'clock, Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji will be back with you. Anything you missed on the show today, very easy to find on the Odyssey app. Download it to your phone, and we'll be back tomorrow at 9. By the way, if you have that Odyssey app, you can listen to the upcoming Cardinals game. They get started at 12:15. The pregame show happens in a matter of minutes right here on 104.1 FM KMOX.